Hey. Is my microphone on? I can see our next guest laughing in the background because all of the mics. And we've got a new addition. Yes, I'm colorblind, but close enough. Welcome to the Cold Calling Podcast. Oh my goodness, super excited. Episode number 11. I am your host, Larry Long Jr., CEO. Not your average CEO, but Chief Energy Officer of LLJR Enterprises. Welcome. Come on in. This is a live show. Super excited to field any and all of your questions. Now, just a reminder, the Cold Calling Podcast is powered by our great friends at Monster Connect. They leverage technology to deliver live conversations for B2B sellers to actually speak to decision makers. None of this voicemail. We want to actually have conversations. Can you hear me now? With our prospects. Now let's get into it. We are here to help you. Yes, you take your sales game to the next level. And you can see behind me, I'm in a new location. I'm at a co-working, co-selling space called Sales HQ here in Morrisville, North Carolina. Please come and pay me a visit. But on to today's guest. Joining us from H-Town, she's focused on getting you, yes, you, more sales without losing the human side of your sales cycle. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. She's been a killer. She's been killing it in sales for over 30 years and now helps others to do the same. Essentially, she says, I sell sales. I like that. She's the founder of Sellevators, the founder and CEO of Success with AI. Let's give a warm, actually, before we give a warm welcome, I also got a shout out. She's also a big cat. I saw that, an alum of the University of North Alabama. Let's give a warm Cold Calling Podcast welcome to Miss Denise Mirtha Bachman.
Yay.
What's going on, Denise?
Hey, not much. Thank you for having me here, Larry. You're awesome for that introduction. Thank you.
Oh, you're making me blush. Come on, Clean. It takes one to know one.
Aw, thank you. How did you know University of North Alabama? No one ever knows that.
Come on now. I got to do my research. Come on. I'm not going to come to the plate and not be prepared. And before we get into it, talk to me about what the plate means to you. I know that you're a softball and baseball mom. Come on, now, better up.
Yeah, so the plate, if we're talking sports, means you better have your crap together, because when you're up there, you are on the chopping block if you don't get it right. No, I'm just kidding. No, I watch my daughter and my son play all the time. So it's a lot of fun to watch them. I was not a sports fan at all, but now I love it. It's fun.
We're in a sports fan. What you talking about, Denise? I know.
I hated sports, but super competitive. I remember, so my daughter's the older one, Larry. And so she's 14. When she first started, the first sport we played was soccer. I don't know, four years old, maybe. She sucked terribly bad, right? I mean, she would not hit the ball, or, you know, she wouldn't let her feet even touch the ball. And, you know, I hate sports, but I was the most competitive mom out there screaming at a four-year-old to touch the ball, right? Just make an effort. So I was, after two seasons, I said, no more. We're not playing this sport because you suck. We're going to put you in something else. And so we tried out softball, and now she's playing high school ball.
4 years old, you really were. Mama said, knock you out.
That's my competitive nature. I mean, come on, Larry, we're in sales.
Oh, that is what I'm talking about. So I like to, I know who you are, but our viewers and our listeners want to get to know you. So I call this segment the who, the what, and the why. Who are you? What do you do? And why do you do it?
Yes. Okay. So Denise Mirtha Bachman, you've already said I'm here in Houston. Been here for a really, really long time. Not very exciting. I have two kids. I speak German as my primary language here at home. It was my first language, and been in sales, as you said, over 30 years. started out, my very first sales job was selling long distance to businesses door to door. Remember that back in the day? That probably dates me. I don't know how old I am in comparison to you, Larry, but because you look really young compared to me. But that tells you how long I've been in sales. But that all being said, I love, love, love sales. So what I decided to do was quit my corporate gig and start a sales program in which I essentially train. I mean, we like to use the word coach, right? But I really train salespeople to adopt and adapt to AI because I do think you should leverage it. But then how do you shift your focus on the higher value activities, which is all about humanizing sales? And my why for that, I really have two whys. So I'm going to get really vulnerable and share my real why as it relates to the human experience, the human connection is I didn't have such a great childhood as a kid. So I didn't realize that all of these years I've always sought the human experience. And it took me until this year to realize the reason why I focus so much is because I didn't have that as a kid. But that's not really why I started Sellevators or why I realized I didn't truly understand that was my why until recently. So when I first started it, it was because I realized that in sales, one of the things we were missing was the human aspect. We were focused on transactions and there was all this confusion and chaos with all these introduction of AI technologies. And I wanted to help organizations make better sense of that and really focus on the areas where we can just really add value as humans, because we're the differentiator. When you compare us to the machines and the robots and the AI technologies, even the automation technologies, we're the differentiators.
Wow. The human element, the person. Tell me more. Now, I know I was taking a look. Sellevators, you got a new cohort coming up in April. Tell me more about Sellevators and expand more. What you talking about, Willis, about the human element?
Yeah, so the Sellevators program is just a 4-week program that really helps you elevate the human and cultivate and elevate the human experience. So yes, we'll look at technologies and whether or not you're leveraging them right, because I do think you should use them in 4 key areas of the sales process. How do you do that effectively while still retaining the human element within those workflows and within those processes that you've created? But then let's focus on not just building relationships, because hell, we can all do that, right? But it's taking it a step further, not just about know, like, and trust, but know, like, and trust with credibility, getting to true probable root cause by establishing credibility, asking the second, third, and fourth line questions that get you the true reason why the buyers are seeking you out. And then really leveraging that credibility to work through this win-win process. So at the end, you both walk away having both met your objectives, you both feel like heroes, and you both have met your goals.
Wow, that is powerful. Now I'm curious, talk to me about some of your proudest success stories from Sellevators alums.
Yeah, I think my most exciting one was because this, I mean, the heart of this, yes, it's really great to get to closing a deal, right? But it's all the steps in between that we sometimes forget, right? And negotiations is one that we always need to up our game and upskill and get better at. But it's really in asking the right questions and getting into root cause. And I probably one of my most proudest moments, because it's the hardest part, right? Negotiations, you can teach negotiations. You can teach how to get to a negotiation process. You can teach how to build a relationship, you know, some of the activities that you should do. But you can't really always very easily teach someone active listening skills and how to continuously be curious, right? They have to innately, for the most part, want to be curious. So to teach them how to do that sometimes is the most difficult. And so I think my most rewarding was having one of the women that I coached that totally changed her mindset, because mindset's hard, right? And to have her shift and have her go from asking just first line questions to truly getting down to the third and fourth, because she was actively listening. She was audible ready and she knew her stuff, right? You can't do any of that. You can't get to the fourth line questions unless you can do all three of those things. And, you know, her sales have skyrocketed since then because I taught her how to do one of the most important aspects of the sales process that is also the hardest to do.
Wow. You absolutely nailed it. And from the man with all the mics, sometimes this can be very, very difficult to listen. And you said active listening. You talked about curiosity. Ooh, yeah. I can tell this is going to be dynamite, changing mindsets. That is what I'm talking about. Now, I heard you mention that there's four key areas within the sales process. If you don't mind, please share where are those touch points that you really help folks connect with that human element?
Yeah. So I think this is where I think technology should be leveraged. The four key areas are lead nurturing, client nurturing, and then in between those two are forecasting and customer insights. So, you know, there's a lot of noise. Everyone wants to take advantage of all these AI or automation technologies, because let's qualify really quickly. AI is the umbrella. Automation is under that umbrella, right? So, So most want to take advantage of, and then you've got these whole slew of solutions and you use them throughout the process. There are really only four key areas that you should focus on. And it's those four, right? And leverage them. So for example, in lead and client nurturing, that's the easiest one to use as an example. But when you create, you know, there's tons of solutions, outreach, you know, Seamless, various others, right, that automate the process. So creating the workflow is the easy part. Anyone can do that. It's creating the workflow, though, so that you're injecting all four or all key elements within the media platform. So phone, text, email, LinkedIn DM. So making sure you're covering all of those, adding those to the workflow, but more importantly then, watching the workflow. So actively engaging in that workflow. Most people will set the workflow and let it go. And, you know, maybe it's a 20 or a 14 day, maybe it's a 30 day, maybe it's a 60 day workflow, but they'll just let it go. The differentiator between you and everyone else is when you actually engage in that workflow. You're paying attention to that workflow. You're going back. When someone has responded in a certain way, you stop that workflow. You adjust that workflow. You restart it with a whole new steps within that workflow because of the way that the prospect responded, right? So it's getting engaged in there and overseeing it and making sure that there's still a human element. And if need be, not only just stopping, but actually engaging as the human and then starting it back up as necessary. Because we know, Larry, I'm sure you teach this to everyone. It's no longer 5 to 8 touch points. It's like 15 to 20 touch points now, right? I mean, it's a lot.
It's a whole lot. Now, I'm curious, because this is the Cold Calling Podcast, and our audience, our live viewers, our live listeners, those that are going to check out the replay, they want to know, hey, Denise, what can you tell me that's going to help me better engage? You talked about getting engaged, getting involved, the human element. When I'm smiling and dialing, my boss is making me make 50 calls, 100 calls. I just talked to a sales leader that said their reps are making 125 calls a day. Help. I need some help, Denise. What can I do to have success and really implement and engage in this human element that you speak of?
Well, I mean, you had a prime example of that today when you and I, before, when we were in the green room, or right before you sent me to the green room, right? When it was just a, hey, how's it going? You know, here's what we're going to do, et cetera, et cetera. You had already done your homework and knew that I'd gone to the University of North Alabama. I mean, most people don't even know where UNA is, right? But you already knew that I'd gone there. It's finding information. And sometimes if it has to be a manual process, it does take a bit longer, but that little bit will help you relate to, and it'll enable you to personalize your message such that you should have higher success rates because you've taken the time. Now, if you're making 125 dials a day, I'm not quite certain you can personalize a whole heck of a lot, but you aren't going to be able to do that manually. Instead, leverage your AI solutions so that you can gain customer insights so that when you go to that when you're going down your list, you have some information that will enable you to connect with them in a meaningful way, because then they'll want to engage with you.
Oh, I love it. Doing my homework, doing my research for all the sales professionals, not the amateurs, but if you're listening in, you're tuning in, you're a professional and you're looking to elevate your game. Like Denise said, the little bit, do a little bit of research so that you can create that connection. You can create that stronger relationship. And speaking of stronger relationships, I love what Denise mentioned before, but I want to dig a little bit deeper. You talked about KLT on steroids. We know that folks like to work with folks that they know, that they like, and that they trust. You threw a little wrinkle. You put an addendum on it, and you said now they want to work with people they know, they like, they trust, and that they trust with credibility.
Exactly.
Tell me more.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easy in this day and age when you build a relationship, you know, we give trust a bit easier than we have in the past because we're now more virtual. So we are actually engaging more on Zoom. So you get to know someone a lot faster than in the old days prior to the pandemic when all you did was pick up the phone or send an email. So we are building trust a little bit easier, I think, but it's not really about trust anymore because that's easier to do. It's about having credibility. So understanding who your prospect or your prospective buyer is, that's going to build credibility. Truly understanding your product set. So more than just features and functions, which we've been preaching for a long time now, but now it's even more important because the reality is by the time a vendor starts to engage with you now, they've already down selected you and you're one of 3 to 5 of their top choices. And so it's no longer going to be about you educating them, because that's how we built trust in the past, was by educating them. It's now about the experience, because now when they come to you, all you have to do is affirm or confirm what they've learned. Now it's going to be, how do you treat them? What's the experience that they get with you, with the product, with the company? And the only way they can that you can give them an effective or a pleasing, and pleasing is not the right word either, but an experience that they walk away with, that they're happy, is by having established this credibility that allows you to get at this level where they know you're in the fight with them. You're understanding what makes them the hero. They know what makes you the hero. And together, you guys are in a partnership working towards the finish line together. I think that's building credibility.
Ooh, sounds like team. Together, everyone achieves more.
Yes.
And it's really getting on that same level. I'm sitting here at a desk, and I always love the analogy of, instead of you and the prospect being on other sides of the desk, it's really, hey, why don't we both get on the same side of the desk? That credibility, which builds the know, the like, the trust factor on a whole different level. I didn't mean to say steroids, because we know the bad stain that's had in baseball. I don't know much about the world of softball, but the juice was loose back in the 80s and the 90s.
The juice was loose. I like it.
now, Denise, you talked about German as your first language. And I don't know if you know our good friend, Susie Matheson.
Yes, I do know Susie.
I'm curious, what have you seen from the perspective of cultural differences in sales from German to here in the U.S., in the States?
Oh, I mean, Leon White, do you know? We all know Leon, right? Yeah. So Leon's really your guy, and Susie as well. But Leon really studies cultural differences as it relates to sales. But being married to a German, what I can tell you is, and you know, visiting over there often, engaging with Germans a lot, there's a huge difference. I mean, because traditionally it is a hard sell here in the US. There it's very much a soft sell. It is more of the strategic selling that we should all be leveraging here in the US, right? But it is very much a much more relaxed, less stressful, more relationship and strategic type of selling than it is here. And then there are just some nuances there, like, you know, making sure here we can be as loosey-goosey as we want and have a really good time there. It's very professional, a bit more formal. Yeah. High German, like they have low German and high German, right? So being able to speak in the high German, yes. It's a little bit more formal and there's less emotion. Like, you know, Americans tend to be super excited and over bubbly. And, you know, I want to hug everyone. Germans are a little bit more reserved and a little bit more to themselves. Don't hug as much, you know, so it's a little bit different. They play really hard, but man, they work really hard.
Just a little bit different.
Yeah, just a little.
Or a lot different.
Yeah, it's really a lot, but you know, that's okay. That's okay.
Good. I don't know what they would think of me. It's kind of funny because Susie and I hit it off and I've had the opportunity to work with a couple of German companies and they have been amazing to work with. But I appreciate you sharing the breakdown of the cultural differences. Now I'm going to call this the spill the tea. I need you to spill the tea because you're the founder and CEO of Success with AI. I am ChatGPT robot. But then I hear you talking about the human element. I'm going to keep it real. My head is spinning because I would think that they're on two opposite sides of the spectrum. But tell me about how you reconcile success with AI and Celebrators.
Yeah, I mean, that's easy for me because I spent over 30 years, as we mentioned both already, in sales, but the latter half of that was spent in AI, machine learning, automation space. And so I love where we can go with leveraging these technologies. But I think what we get caught up in, and I say we generalized, right? I mean, I know there are people that don't fit this mold necessarily, but in general, we leverage these technologies to speed things up, to do things that we don't want to do anymore, which is great. I love that. But sometimes we get so caught up in leveraging the technologies that we forget how to bring the human element. And, you know, we talked about buyers today want an experience. That's going to be the differentiator. So I think we should leverage technologies. And I love where we're headed, although, you know, there are some like transhumanism, AGI. If we talk about that, that stuff scares me just a bit, makes me a little bit more cautious. But AI, automation, super amazing solutions. So I want us to leverage them and leverage them in a way that we can, you know, create efficiencies, but then let them take over those efficiencies. And then we work on the higher value activities, which, you know, we know almost 70% of our time, say a salesperson's time is spent on non-sales related activities. Those are not higher value activities at all, right? So leverage AI to do that. So I love it. Do use it. But then let's spend more of that 70% on actually the human aspect. So let's increase that to maybe, you know, 70% in high value activities and 30% in the non-sales related. So that's for me how I balance the two, how I can harmoniously manage, because there's so many great things that AI can do, not even just in the sales world, but look at healthcare and look at all the different areas that we're seeing some great new technologies helping us become better humans. But let's use it as a way to augment us and not replace us.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So you're telling me the robots won't be replacing me anytime soon, as long as I've got my heart, I've got my brain, I've got my thoughts and ideas that I can bring to the table that AI can't replicate yet.
Yet. I know. Use the word yet because it's coming.
Oh, that's crazy. That is wild. Mm-hmm. So Denise, I mean, you've closed over $75 million in revenue. I'm curious, what are some of those key success indicators that have led to your success, as well as working with others? Because our reps, our listeners want to know, what are some of those things that they should be focused on in order to take their game to the next level? They want to be like you, having continued success over 30 plus years in the grind of sales. What should I focus on to do that?
Make your buyer the hero.
Ooh.
Find out what the, you know, it does. Like, for example, I knew in one deal that closing a, picking a solution, one that was going to best suit them, where it had a good return on investment, where they knew that they would have success, meant that he would get promoted. So he had to solve to this problem. So understand, and why did he want to get promoted? Because it meant a higher pay. And why it was, you know, higher pay important to him? Because he had three kids at home. He had two that were closer to college age, right? So there, you have to really dive in and try to understand what is going to make your buyer feel like the hero. And make sure at the same time that you share with them what would make you a hero, because they want to be in the boat with you. That relationship always feels not real or subsurface when you're only working towards one person's goals. If you are both giving to the relationship, it becomes a partnership. And when you're both in the boat together, you can do so much more. So have them understand what makes you the hero. You learn what makes them the hero, and then you work towards a common goal together.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing. And I would say a little bit louder for the people in the back, but those in the back, come up to the front. Make sure that you are listening. I hope you're taking notes, and I hope you take those notes. And as Denise said, go the next level, put it into action. Now, for those that are just getting started, I'm fresh out of college. Mm-hmm. I'm coming from an adjacent industry to sales. I've never done sales before. What tips do you have? Any core advice that you would give them in terms of how can I really have success in this ever-changing environment and world of sales, leveraging the human element and the tools that are at my disposal? How do I do it, Denise?
Well, first is, you know, over 90% of salespeople fail in the first year. So don't allow yourself to fail. That's first. I mean, the first part of success is making sure that you don't allow yourself to fail. Now, failure doesn't mean that you didn't make your number, because out of failure, we always learn something. So just make sure that you're on the path to not being in that 90% by understanding that when you fail, it's not really a failure, right? There's something to be learned from, which leads me to the second one, which is be curious. I don't think that we do a very good job of being curious. You know, Larry, I can come to you and say, Larry, how are you doing today? And you can say, fine. And I can say, okay, great. Well, I'm doing great as well. And then you move on to the next. That's the first line question. And you usually get a first line response, which is usually just a subsurface response, right? I mean, you may say fine because that's your standard response, but in actuality, you've had a crappy day, right? You've had all these things go wrong. I'm not quite sure because your face doesn't show that. You probably had a phenomenal day, but you get what I mean, right? It's getting in and diving in. Oh, fine. Well, what is it? That fine doesn't sound great. What's the difference between fine and what would make it great? Well, if this would have not happen. Oh, well, tell me about that. What, why was that such a big deal? What happened? What, you know, how do you feel about really diving in and getting to second, third, fourth, just all of these different levels of questions that get you to probable root cause. Curiosity will get you to probable root cause. You get those and you couple that with a hero mentality, and you will, and with reminding yourself that even failure can still be part of your success, and don't fall into that 90%. You take those three key things and there you go. That is a combination for success.
Oh my goodness. You just dropped it like it's hot. I love, love, love what you're talking about. Now, this has been great, but I need to take out that crystal ball.
Yeah.
I know where we're at and I know where you've had success before. Where do you see the trends, the future? Let's say, I don't know, 18 months from now, what are we going to be looking at in this world of sales in your crystal ball?
Yeah, so I think what we're going to see, and I know this contradicts everything that you do, which is all about the cold calling podcast, right? I think we're still going to have cold calling, but I think we're going to be focused more on inbound than we are outbound. I think inbound, the trend that we are seeing is that inbound is where you're going to see a lot more effort and success. Just my two cents. But given how much we're talking about cold calling and, you know, the fact that we're getting DM'd and emailed by these robots and bots, the distinguishing factor, the differentiator is going to be the human element. And inbounding, I think, is going to be the way that human element is really fostered. But
I love it.
I still believe that we still need to cold call, right? But I do think there'll be a higher focus on inbound.
I love it. Now, how do you get inbounds? That's the magic question. I'm sitting here waiting for my phone. I'm waiting for the fish to jump in my boat. It ain't happening. How do I get those inbounds?
You just got to get visible. I mean, Larry, you're already doing this. It is just making sure you're out there creating content so that, you know, everyone wants to use the word thought leader or influencer. I don't know, you have to have that title, but you definitely have to be generating content so that others can see it, so that you've already established a first line credibility, right, with your audience, because then they want to come in and have those conversations with you. Then when they connect with you on LinkedIn, when you send them then an email or a DM or a text, you can say, hey, we're connected on LinkedIn. I just wanted to follow up and see how you were doing, see how things were going, you know, just have a conversation. That's even an inbound in an S or more of a warm lead, but it's an inbound because they've connected with you. Now you're expanding, and that's where you start to elevate the cold calling and turn it into warm calling, right?
Wow, you're talking my language, and I'm a big fan of really creating that brand of being, you said, be visible. Yeah. You don't want to be the best kept secret. You want everyone to know about you, to like you, to trust you, to see you in that light of being credible. That's really where everything happens. So I'm curious about what's on the horizon for you and Cellevators. What's that next phase of great? Because we're talking about elevating. I want to know what's on your mind to elevate to that next level.
Yeah, so I've got some great partnerships that I'm fixing to announce with some other salespeople where we've come together and we have a service offering. I've got two sets of that, so I'm super excited. Yes. I've got one where we're going B2B with two really hard hitters. And then I've got another one where there's two additional, so three of us in that group as well, but we're focused more on the entrepreneurs and the solopreneurs and the smaller businesses, focusing all on sales. So I think for me, it's really continuing to build the partnerships. And eventually my goal by the end of this year is to hire someone else to do what I do so that I can really live out my vision, which is spending more time with my family. The first half of my vision is spending more time with my family, because as we know, sales is hard, has been hard. And I spent more of my sales career focused on my sales than I did on my family. And so now I'm kind of switching it up a bit, still spending the time on the sales, but want to make sure that I'm also spending quality time with my family.
Wow. I love it. I love it. And I love your intentionality with your vision. We are cheering you on along the way. Now, this was, I was watching a clip. It's the old Allen Iverson. We're talking about practice. And I know with your Cellevators program, 4 weeks, it's 4 weeks training program.
Yes.
What's your position around practice?
We should be doing it every day.
Every day. Ooh, tell me more.
I mean, that's not necessarily what the program has at the end, this challenge or lab. It's a learning lab is what I call it. But in terms of putting it into something that is relatable to here, it's more like a challenge, right? It's taking all the things that we've learned and actually putting them into practice. And for a week at the end, every day, giving you tasks to go out and actually put it into practice and then come back and share some of the results. But it's all about, you know, it's easy for us to take in all of this information. And we all know there's a lot of information available to us. Everyone wants to teach us how to be better, and they all have great ways to do that, right? But we take in all this information and then we don't actually execute.
That's right.
if we aren't executing every single day, if we're not practicing every single day, then you were not learning. And if we're not learning and growing, we're dying.
Ooh, we don't want to die. We certainly want to grow.
That's a bit extreme, but you get my.
I hear you. We definitely want to learn from those experiences, whether they're successful or whether they're quote unquote failures on the other side. There is so much to learn. Now, I'm curious, and I know that you've talked about curiosity. I think they said curiosity killed the cat, but I think it helped the sales professional crush their targets and their goals. So exactly. I am curious. with your vast experience, your vast knowledge, you've had great success in sales. If you had to pick the number one, numero uno, what's the one piece of wisdom and advice that you would share with our listeners and our viewers right now? If they're looking to aspire to have success, exceed goals, really, truly make connections and have impact, what's the one, I guess I'll say, what's the one piece of advice that you would give them?
Be authentic. And that's not an easy. So being authentic is not always easy, because that means that we have to sometimes deal with some of the demons from the past, get over some of our traumas head on, you know, traumas from the past head on. It's overcoming our fears, right? So there are sometimes it takes a little bit of effort and work, a journey to get to true authenticity, because a lot of our lives is spent showing up in the way that we think others want us to show up, right? And instead, what you've got to do is stand firm in your power, be bold, and know that you are enough. So be your authentic self. And when you do that, you will radiate this authenticity from the outside, and people will want to engage with you. They'll want to have the conversation. And we talk about the buyer's experience. Buyers will want to be engaged with you because they know that you're going to provide them an experience, because they feel it from you, right? You're radiating it. So authenticity.
Wow. That is powerful right there. And that was truly a mic drop moment right there, Denise. And I want to say thank you to you for being authentic and sharing really where your heart for service and your heart for helping with the human element dates back to your childhood. And it sounds like you've done the work, that you've continued to put in the effort, the time to overcome those things of the past that might be holding us back in the present and in the future. That's a message that someone needs to hear right now. There's someone out there that needs to hear that message, and I appreciate you sharing that. Any advice that you would give to someone that might have experienced something similar growing up to you in terms of steps to overcome that adversity and to achieve success?
Yeah. So I think, let me put some context around that too. So I've had some phenomenal years. I mean, I've made a lot of money in sales. I've had years where life was grand. I built a pool. I made, you know, almost $1 million in 1 year in sales. I got a $30,000 trip just for making making my number the first half of the year. You know, I had, you know, beautiful home. Well, I still have a beautiful home, but you know, I had in the moment, there were moments, and those moments were even years where life was grand. And then something would happen and I would spiral downward. And as sales, we know that we are very hard on ourselves. We also define success a lot of times differently than most others. And so for me, the challenge was, how do I, instead of allowing myself to spiral down, how do I consistently live this life in which I'm happy, in which I am present, and I am living my best life? And so for me, what I realized, it took a spiral downward, my last one, to realize that I was not being a great role model for my children. I was also not being true to myself. And while I had these moments of success, I had these moments of terribleness because I allowed the past to come in. So I went on this, on my journey, and I'm almost 52. So this year I'll be 52 in November. Thank you. But it took me 50 years to start this journey. And so once I finally did, though, and I had to find my own way, right? Traditional therapy didn't work. I even shared too much probably on LinkedIn at some point, because that's what my content manager at the time suggested. You know, I had to go through a lot of trial and tribulation to get to, you know, where I am on the other side. And I would say, you got to take care of the baggage, and you just got to persevere. You got to continue to fight. You got to remember that what all of us are expected to lead with is living our best lives, being our authentic versions, not what everyone else wants us to. And so you've got to figure out your own journey, and it's okay. Your journey can be different from mine. Just persevere and realize that there's a rainbow at the end of that journey or on the other side. Doesn't mean life's grand all the time. I mean, you know, you still got stuff to worry about, but it's not as hard hitting anymore because I'm on the other side of that journey. So hopefully that helps someone out there.
Oh, big time. I appreciate you sharing that. And I appreciate you joining. I'm curious, Denise, where can people find you? Where's the best place for people to connect with you?
So the best place is here on LinkedIn. I'm all in on LinkedIn. So I am working on those inbounds like there's no tomorrow, right? If I'm not going to outbound as much, I got to put my effort in somewhere. So it's inbounding. So I am doing my Celebrators lives on Tuesdays. I have my CAF AI chats on Wednesdays, and I have coffees with Denise on Fridays. So that's my sales, my AI, and my humanity, and bringing them all together, right? So I do those all every week, and you can also find me on Celebrators.com, but primarily on LinkedIn. That's where you're going to find me mostly.
Wow. So you're going live. You said Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday?
Yes.
When do you sleep? Come on now.
I know. I actually do a pretty doggone good job in harmoniously managing my time.
Oh, I love it. I hope it's contagious. Can you send some of that over to me? Because my time management, in the words of that great philosopher, J.J. Walker, it is dynamite and it is blown up. But that's neither here nor there. What can we do, Monster Connect, myself, our viewers, our listeners, what can we do to support you?
Oh, just come join I've got two spots available in the cohort. Come see me in the lives. Come visit my content and engage in conversation. And, you know, ask me questions. I always lead with service. So, you know, I'm always here to answer questions. Catch me in the DMs. Have a conversation with me and show me that you're different than the other sales reps, as I want to do the same for you by building these lasting relationships that are built on credibility.
Wow. So you're pretty much telling me we can exhibit the human element to truly connect with you with credibility.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. Denise, on behalf of myself, on behalf of Monster Connect, our viewers, our listeners, thank you for taking the time to join us, for taking the time to unpack and share so many wise nuggets and insights. Oh, that was powerful. And I look forward to staying connected, to interacting and engaging with you, your content, all the great stuff that you put out, and all you do to support the sales professional community. Just thank you. I want to give you your flowers right now.
Thank you. And I want to say for all the listeners out there, I mean, Larry, you are, thank you for the flowers. You are inspirational and always so happy. And you can tell, you know, it's one thing to pretend like you're happy, but you can see the happiness and the energy that you give off. And it's not only inspirational, but warm and just meaningful. So thank you for all you do and for featuring wonderful people. Like, you know, you've had John Barrows on there, and, you know, you've had Morgan Ingram on here, and, you know, just the various, thank you for your continued support and all that you do for salespeople. So thank you very much.
Wow. I appreciate that. That means so much. You're making me blush. And I don't know if you know this. I talked about it in my midweek, midday motivational minute at 12 noon that today is World Happiness Day. I did not even know that, but March the 20th has been declared as World Happiness Day. So I love how you shared how to find that path and that journey and make that choice to be happy. I absolutely love it. It takes work. It doesn't come overnight, but it's there and it's right at our fingertips for anyone that wants to answer that door that opportunity is knocking at. So thank you so much, Denise, for just dropping knowledge for all of our listeners and viewers. But most importantly for me, I'm looking at it from a selfish reason. You certainly filled my cup and my heart with all of your great knowledge. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, for all of our viewers and listeners, those live, those that are tuning in, please make sure to join us next Wednesday, March the 27th, same bad place. Actually, no, we won't be at the same bad place, but we will be at the same bad time, 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific, as we welcome our great friend from St. Peter Port, Guernsey. What is that? The Channel Islands? I want to dig in and understand where in the world is Carmen Sandiego and where in the world is Guernsey, but we're going to welcome Carrie Gard, who's the CEO of MKG Marketing. She's going to hop on and tell us. I saw her post and I said, hold up, wait a minute. You better watch your mouth, Carrie, because she was talking about how she thinks cold calling and cold outreach are dead. I said, say what? So yes, we're going to go from Denise to Carrie to understand what her perspective is around cold outreach. Being dead on the cold calling podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We wish you all the best, continued success, happy selling, and we will see you next week. Thanks again, Denise.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye, y'all.